Jim Gray joins us now from Westwood One. Jim's an old friend, and he is author of the new book, Talking to Goats, The Moments You Remember, Ollie, Jordan, Tiger, Kobe, Phelps, Tyson, LeBron, and the Stories You Never Heard, with a foreword by Tom Brady. And as Jim joins us, you know, we've known each other for decades now, and I'm always amazed at your knack for being in the right place at the right time. How much of a factor is that in not only securing these interviews, but getting the most out of the people you interview?
Well, hey, Sandy, great to talk to you and everyone in Denver. Being in the right place at the right time is a function of a lot of things, being at the event, doing your work, doing your homework, getting lucky, you know, having good contacts. So there's a web there. There's a whole confluence of events, as you know, having done this for as long as you have, that have to transpire to be in that position. So some things fall in your lap, and you don't ever expect them. I didn't expect I would ever see in my life a man bite off another man's earlobe, particularly while I was working.
Yes.
You know, and on the other end of it, I didn't think I'd ever see a melee of people getting into fights with players in the stands.
Malice at the palace.
Malice. And, yeah. You know, I didn't, you know, got, you know, unfortunately, I didn't think I'd be there when an Olympic bomb went off. You know,
yeah.
So it's those things just happen. And it's some of it's the wrong place at the wrong time, even though broadcasting wise, it seems like it's the right place at the right time. So, or then you're just happen to be there when some, you know, when Michael Jordan has the flu game and you get to report on that. So, it's kind of a hit or miss prospect on that. And I just think if you're doing your job, as Bill Belichick would say, do your job. Some of it happens and some of it you have to create.
Jim, you covered major events like Mike Tyson and Evander Holyfield in 1997 and the 96 Olympics. What is the one event that you covered professionally that you just had to take a minute and appreciate the spectacle of it? Just like, wow, this is an actual event and not just a sporting event. And why does that come to mind when you think of this event?
Well, there are two of them. Orlando, nice to talk to you as well. Muhammad Ali lighting the torch in 1996 at the Atlanta Olympics. I mean, there for the grace of God go I. Here was a man who gave us so much in the ring and out of the ring, and there you saw it. Dignity, courage, pride, perseverance, any adjective that you want to use to describe that moment and then the reaction of the world to it. And here was a man who was fragile, struggling with Parkinson's, yet still so strong and still the greatest. That moment resonated then, and it resonates to this moment as I'm speaking to you. Just what that represented, you know, that was where we could all see the best in all of us through him and can be used for good for future generations. So that was the first one. And then a few years later, I was in New York for the World Series between the Diamondbacks and the Yankees when George W. Bush, unexpected to the crowd, may have been expected, obviously, to the Secret Service and baseball authorities, came out and threw the first pitch.
Yes.
Just a few short weeks after the tragedies of 9/11, the country was still very, very much on edge and deeply mourning and in grief. Anthrax was being sent all around the country to individuals. Another terrorist attack was thought to be imminent, and out strode a very courageous, dignified man who said, "We're going to mourn. We're never going to forget what happened. But just like FDR had done during the war, we're going to play baseball." And then he threw a perfect strike, and it just made you feel so proud to be an American, so proud of that young president, so proud of the Yankees and Major League Baseball. And it was just a glorious moment that had absolutely nothing to do with politics.
A rare thing. And we think about the last 4 years, but especially in the last 20, 25 years, that there would be an event that really drew the nation together. Maybe the last time, Jim, and you were there, that the nation has truly been drawn together with no political considerations or feelings paramount at all. I know how good an interview you tend to do and how good an interview subject you are yourself from having talked to you a lot for all these years. And my question to you is, how do you earn the trust of these people? It's one thing to have access to them. It's another thing to earn their trust. And you run the gamut. You talk about, as you just did, some world leaders in this book, but especially the athletes. How do you earn their trust in order to get the most out of them as an interviewer?
Well, I go through it in the Talking to Goats in the book. There's kind of a chapter about that, and that's a really hard question to answer, Sandy, because true friendships and true relationships are reciprocal. So I can't just decide, you know, to be friends or to want to interview 100 times Kobe Bryant. He has to want that in return.
Yes,
same with Tom Brady on Monday nights.
Right.
So there's a feeling of reciprocity that goes on. So how do you identify what makes you connect? How do you know what causes that? Well, it just happens over the course of time, and then there's a trust that's developed. But if somebody's always giving to somebody, that doesn't work because that creates resentment. And if somebody's always taking, that's a horrible circumstance as well because then there becomes a dependency. So it has to be a form where it's equal. So, you know, I kind of can only answer on my end. I can't answer for the other people who are on the other end other than it's worked. And you know, I was fortunate to have that work with Muhammad Ali and Chuck Daly, who introduced me to my wife, and,
yes,
and Julius Irving, and you know, Tom Brady and Mike Tyson, you know, and I'm honored what those people came forward to say, you know, for the back of the book, and you know, it's humbling and deeply gratifying, Sandy, but I can't really just pinpoint it here and say, why do I get along with you, Sandy? I don't know.
Well,
we
mutual
like
respect.
I respect your work.
Yes.
I've seen
mutual
you
respect.
Put time into your craft. Yeah, so that's what happens. So that's what's happened with these athletes. It's harder now because of social media.
Yes.
And there's no proximity anymore, Sandy.
Right. Right.
I can't go and stand out at practice for the Broncos.
Exactly.
Not because they don't want me there, but because, not because of COVID, but because things have changed. And John Elway, back in those days, who I pestered more than any athlete ever, who was just great and spectacular and fabulous to deal with, and I acknowledge that in the book, but I could walk up to him over on Logan Street and just talk to him. I could see him in the locker room before or after practice or on the field after a game. Now, if you want to talk to one of these stars, let's just take, for example, LeBron. While I might have a relationship with him, if you were just starting, he's on a podium. And he enters through a back room and goes to the podium and then exits through a back room. Now, he is accessible because he makes himself accessible in the Lakers locker room. But if you have something of that nature going on with big stars, you just can't get in front of them long enough to have any rapport. Plus, yeah. Social media has now opened everything up, so
yes,
they have their own delivery
That's
system
right.
and distribution.
That's right.
Yeah. Visiting right now with Jim Greer of Westwood One. Jim, for anybody out there trying to get into sports broadcasts and listening right now, what advice would you give them?
I would give them the same advice that I do when I speak to these young folks in classes and so forth. Do everything that nobody else will do. Okay? Do all
Great
of those
advice.
Little things that you will feel is way beneath your level of intellect. Okay? But you're going to get noticed. You're going to get noticed by somebody who will then mentor you. I had great mentors, Roger Ogden, Mike
yes.
Nolan,
yes.
Corey McFerrin, people who saw that I was willing to sit in that booth and edit till all hours of the night, which enabled me to be there when they couldn't find anybody to go get a break to interview Muhammad Ali. Okay? But just do all of that stuff that nobody else wants to do, and don't ever let anybody see or feel the frustration that you're having internally that you're doing that. Do it with a good attitude, and know that somebody somewhere, somehow, will recognize that. Then when you get the opportunity, It's amazing how lucky you'll get if you do those things. Then when you do get the opportunity, take it and be at your best and improve. Be much better tomorrow than you were yesterday. I still look at my interviews, tens of thousands of them. I look at them, I listen to them, and I wonder, why did I screw up that sentence? Why did I fumble that word? Why didn't I think of that follow-up?
Right.
Because I want to do better. And so if you're just always trying to grow and you don't get complacent and you don't think that you should be entitled to something, nobody will give you anything, okay? But it will be amazing. Bill Walton, who I traveled with for years, and he had the whole pyramid of success with John
yes.
Wooden.
Yes.
He says, failing to prepare is preparing to fail.
That's a good okay. Walton, by the way.
My name is Bill Walton, W-A-L-T-O-N. Jim, how are you this evening? Anyway, but he's exactly right. So be prepared. Be ready for anything. And the final thing I would say to that, Orlando, is, you know what? Be flexible. All right? What's relevant now is going to be irrelevant in 5 minutes. So don't be stringent and rigid. It's going to cost you a lot in your life. You're going to miss weddings and graduations and birthdays, and that's going to upset some of those close to you. But if you really want it bad enough, you'll get it, and somebody will recognize it and be able to take the rejection. If you're rejected, have a strong enough constitution internally to know that's one woman or one man rejecting you. That's not Congress of 535 of them standing up and saying, you suck. That's one person. So be stronger than that one person who told you no and go find a yes. And I will quote Richard Nixon in closing this diatribe. Richard Nixon, a man of great self-awareness who destroyed all of our belief in government all those years ago,
yes.
said, a man is not defeated. A man is not defeated when he loses. A man is defeated when he quits.
Those are great words. And Jim Gray is a 12-time Emmy Award winner, Hall of Fame sports broadcaster, of course. Among the best interviews I've seen in my lifetime was the one that Jim hasn't had time to talk about here because we haven't had to at the time to ask him about it was the Pete Rose interview. And we've talked about this before in previous conversations, Jim, but in many ways, I thought that was your greatest moment because you did something that almost nobody else would have done. You asked the right question and you got a response that wasn't necessarily truthful, but later came out to be absolutely true and factual. And I think for a lot of people, that's where you showed that you can be fair, you can be tough, you can listen to your interview subject, but you got to have guts. And you were much criticized for that, and I thought undeservedly so, and you were vindicated in the end. And so we congratulate you on the new book. Can't wait to read it. Talking to Goats, the moments you remember, Ali, Jordan, Tiger, Kobe, Phelps, Tyson, LeBron, and the stories you never heard. And there are a lot of those stories in Jim's new book as well. Always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
Andy, yeah,
thanks
for having
Jim.
Me. Appreciate you over all the years. And Orlando, you guys keep going. Thanks for having me on. And let me say hi to my mom. Hi, Mom.
Yeah.
She's still in Denver over there in Cherry Creek.
That's right. That's right.
She's listening this awesome. Morning, and my brothers. Thanks for having me, Sandy.
Thank you, Jim. We're very proud of Jim Gray. Yes, he is, as you may have detected from some of his references, a man of Colorado and this city of Denver. That's how he got his start. And he definitely went on to bigger and better things. When we come back, Professor Clough's quiz, as we pose a question to Orlando Franklin regarding, yes, the Bronco quarterback situation for this upcoming Sunday. That's next.